may have noticed that I'm not 6 foot two and I'm not bearded and I don't have a shaved head. That's because Stu is away. He's a bit crook today. So I'm leading and preaching and stuff. What I want you to do though, I know for a fact Stu will be watching right now. So on three, we're all going to say, get well, Stu. Sound good? One, two, three. Get well, Stu. Glad you're with us online, mate. And very happy you guys are here with us in the building. Lovely to have you here for Way Out Fellowship Church, October 2025. Who can believe that it's the 1st of October? You are forgetting here today. Today's also the finale for the book of James. This will be our 14th and final talk as we wrap the book of James up. There's some fantastic stuff in it that's often confused people, and we'll get into that, so we'll learn a lot from James. Now, before we dive into the service proper, we always want to thank God for the joy it is to be able to meet together and for the work that he does in us when we get into his word and gather together. So let's pray now, and you can follow along with the prayer that is on the front page of your order of service there. So I'm going to pray that right now. Heavenly Father, as we meet today, gathered around your word, the Bible, please open our eyes and soften our hard hearts. Help us to remain teachable always, ready to conform to your will for our lives. Lord, please quieten our minds. Enable us to truly hear your word and understand your personal message for each of us this day. Help us to not just be hearers of your word, but those way out news now. And I'll get you to check the big screen out. There's a couple of things that are coming up. Just so you know, we do a working bee at St. Luke's at the end of every term. This is a massive site and takes a fair bit of effort to get in order. So if you'd like to help out for the next working bee, it's on Saturday, 11th of October. And we'll go for 2 hours, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Smash out a lot of bodies here on the site for 2 hours. Could do a lot of work. So we'd love to have you there, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., 11th of October. Now, another key date in the life of St. Luke's is the St. Luke's anniversary service. It's where we celebrate our founding, our first Sunday, and it is coming up on the 19th of October, the week after the working bee. So the working bee is mainly about getting the place looking really good for the 206th birthday. If you haven't been to that, I really would love you to come. It's a special day. We get all of our Sunday congregations together. So we normally have an 8:30 service in that old building, 9:30 Nepalese service in here, 10:30 service in there, 6 p.m. service in that building. But on that day, we will bring everyone together. So there'll only be one service on that Sunday. It'll be at 10 a.m. and it'll be outside on the big grassed area over there. So definitely pray for sunshine and no rain that day. But getting everyone together, it's very, very special. It looks fantastic. And we'll be baptizing almost 20 people that day. 20 people have come to faith reasonably recently. So that's a very good day out. And our last announcement is this talk I'd like to invite you all to. It's titled Raising Kids in a Digital World, but it's not just for parents. A good friend of mine, the Reverend Dr. Marshall Ballantyne Jones, is basically a world expert on the impact that these phones have had on our lives. So they've dominated our lives, they've reshaped the way we think and operate without us even fully thinking about it. We just let this thing invade our lives and reshape it. Now, there's some very wise Christian people out there now doing a lot of research on the impact of social media and your phones. And Marshall will help us to understand that information that we now have, lessons that we've learned, and it'll help us to really reclaim our lives so that we know smartphones are good, right? They're very handy, but they can also be very dangerous. And so Marshall will really help us to navigate how to use this thing for good, not for evil, and how to get your life back. So come along to that and invite anyone you think would really benefit from that. It's basically for anyone from age 15 and older. can come to that event, and it'll be in here on the Saturday the 25th of October. So a bit coming up in October. Okay, that's it for the news. Now, we love doing a proverb of the month here at Way Out. If you want to be wise, the key book in the Bible to read is Proverbs. It's the source of great wisdom. It tells us how to live well and in a godly, wise way in life. And today's proverb comes from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6. Let me read this for you. Evildoers are snared by their own sin, but the righteous shout for joy and are glad. Now, what's interesting about sin is that the full effects of sin are often not always obvious straight away to us. Often, it's not until it's years later that the full effects of sin are really seen and the consequences are felt. It's a great tragic example of this is committing adultery. Often people get away with it and think no one knows and there's no harm to me or anybody else. It is not until later, often too late, that it all comes out. You realise you've not just hurt yourself, but you've hurt someone else. Not only is the other half been tragically betrayed, but the relationship down the track often ends tragically and bitterly and painfully. And then there's also the impact to your reputation. People now know you to be the one who cheated, the one who's not trustworthy, the one who is unfaithful. And then it gets worse if you've got kids and when there's complicated relationships, your workmates, your friends, your kids. Everyone is impacted with that sort of a sin. That's a particularly powerful and tragic example of sin and how its consequences, you can often hide away for a little while, but then before you know it, boom, the avalanche hits you. And that's exactly the way the devil operates. Evil and the devil don't want us to think too far ahead about the potential consequences of sin, the misery that's going to come, the pain, the broken relationships, the grief, the depression that often comes because of sin. It's a little bit like a slide's going to appear. It's a bit like a hunter, there he is, who ends up stepping on his own trap, finds himself ensnared in a trap that he set for his prey months earlier. Sin always comes back to bite us. Now, other times, evildoers can be trapped by their own sin, but much more quickly. Other sins are different. Now, sometimes what we used to call common sense in our culture is sadly not always that common. Another video is going to pop up here. This comes from the list of videos titled World's Dumbest Crooks. Look at this one. It doesn't get better than that, does it? I love those videos. that is a classic example of evildoers ensnared by their own sin. Couldn't illustrate it better than that. Sometimes the impact of sin is felt instantly, straight away. You throw that rock at the window and it bounces back, hits you in the face, knocks you out. Now, often in the Proverbs, you'll have the beginning of a proverb start sadly like this, but then it'll be contrasted with the right way. And that's our proverb here. Evildoers are snared by their own sin. Sometimes immediately, sometimes it takes longer, but they are always ensnared, whether they realise it or not. But here's the good news. But the righteous shout for joy and are glad. It's the opposite for the righteous, isn't it? They shout for joy. They're glad. They're free. They're not ensnared by anything. Now, that word, though, the righteous shout for joy, that can often scare us a bit because we think, oh, I'm not righteous. I've done the wrong thing. Now, it's worth asking the question, what does the word righteous mean in the Bible? Righteous? Very simply, it means you are right with God. Who wants to be right with God? I do. You don't want, the opposite is not right with God. You don't want to be that one. You want to be right with God, and that's available to us. So it's worth asking, who are those who are now righteous? Who are those that are now righteous? Well, guess what? If you believe that Jesus died to save you from your sin, you're righteous. If you confess your sin, Jesus, I'm sorry for being a sinner. Thank you for standing in my place and taking the penalty for my sin. Guess what happens? That penalty for your sin that was removing, that preventing you from being in relationship with God, preventing you from getting into heaven, it is removed and you are now right with God. You believe in Jesus? That you're a sinner, that Jesus saves? That's you. You're righteous. You are now, you can now shout for joy and be glad. Isn't that cool? Sin will not ensnare you. Now, we know from personal experience, even though a lot of us are Christians, are thinking about becoming Christians, doesn't always mean things are going easy in this world, right? But what it means is that because you're with Jesus, you have the joy of knowing you're right with God, you're going to heaven, God is in control, and nothing that happens to you is outside of his good purposes for you. Even the difficult things, you know what? They are designed to grow us up in our faith. They're designed to beat the sinfulness and the stupidity and the immaturity out of us and make us wise. Now, here's a good thing about being righteous is you want to follow God's instructions, right? We understand there's a creator. We understand there's an instruction booklet. And because of that, things change. You're not ensnared by sin anymore. You are free from sin on the path to heaven. So, remember Proverbs 29. What's a good bit of wisdom to take away from today? Remember this, evildoers, they are ensnared by their own sin. There are some people floating around church at the moment. Sin has got them and we are physically seeing the impact of it. But other people who flee sin have come to Jesus properly and openly. The righteous, it's the opposite. You can shout for joy. You're right with God and you can be glad. God is with you. Okay, that's some good news. Let's thank God for that proverb, and then we're going to read some a bigger chunk from James, and we're going to wrap James up. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your word, the Bible, especially for Proverbs and the wisdom we read in there. We thank you tonight for how this proverb puts truth and reality front and center, how evildoers are snared by their own sin. We see the damage it always eventually wreaks on us. Those of us, though, who are right with you, we pray to you, Lord, that you'll help us to really lean into that so that we can shout for joy and be glad. Convict those who are not yet on board with you and your ways. Draw them to yourself so that they too may have joy and gladness in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, Colette's going to come up now and read to us the finale of James, and then I'll take us through that passage.
Hi, it's James 5:13-20. Is anyone among you in trouble? let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the lands for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced the crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Thank you.
Thanks, Colette. I was chatting to a guy down at the pub one night a couple of years ago, not a churchgoer, never sort of had a little bit to do with church in his early years, as often some people do. Classic old school Aussie sort of guy, getting older, thinking about life a bit more. But one of those guys, clearly been through a lot, seen a lot, didn't trust sort of people easily, and was one of those guys who masked his pain with humour. And eventually, being an Anglican minister, we eventually got on to the topic of prayer. And he scoffed a bit and he said, "Prayer? Mate, that's just like talking to the ceiling. Waste of time. Life's a game of survival," he said. "If you want something, you've got to get off your backside and fix it yourself." And so I asked him, "Are you telling me you've never prayed, ever?" And he goes, "Well, actually, when my mum got cancer, I prayed. And when I lost my job during COVID, I prayed. And actually, when my marriage broke up, that nearly killed me." Now that's when the mask dropped. And I looked at him and just said gently to him, "Sounds like you weren't talking to the ceiling. You're actually hoping deep down that someone bigger than you was listening." And that's the thing, isn't it? Even the toughest of us, when life hits hard, what do? We pray. Often very simple prayers. "God, help me." "God, are you there? God, don't let me go under." Now here at the end of the book called James, James finishes with three big things for us. The first one is a call to pray, especially when it's tough. Second thing is a call to lean on each other. We need each other. And the third thing is a call to never give up on those who look like they've walked away. But prayer drives it all. So, you may not have been here for a month. You may not have been here. It's way out for a little bit. Let me just give us a recap of the book of James, what we've seen so far. James is a bit like one of these hard-hitting older brothers in the faith who just gives it to you straight up. Very practical. Here's a short version of James. Chapter 1, he says, "Be doers of the word." Don't just listen to it. Do it. It's designed to change your life. The Bible, it's not like any other book on the planet. It will change you. Chapter 1. Chapter 2, "Faith without works is dead." If you say you believe in Jesus, it changes your life. Let it change your life. Let the word change your life. Let faith change your life. Faith is a doing thing. Don't just talk about faith. Make it change your life. That's the second thing. Thirdly, tame your tongue. What's the most dangerous part of your body? Your tongue. It can get you into all sorts of trouble. It is powerful. Chapter 4, don't fight, don't boast. Humble yourself before God. God's a creator, you're not. Know your place. That's wisdom. And chapter 5, he says this: "Be patient in suffering, speak honestly, and trust God the judge." And now to wrap it up, James gives us a vision of a Christian community where people turn to God in every circumstance and where we don't give up on each other. We need each other. Now, if you're taking notes, we're at point one, and point one is turn to God in every situation. There it is on the big screen. Okay, verse 13, we read this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Then we get into the sickness, but I'll just before we get there. Here is James kicking off this section, the finale, by covering the full range of human experience. You in trouble? We're often in trouble, aren't we? What do you do when you're in trouble? Pray. Don't forget God. Don't think you're in charge. Don't think you can fix it all. Pray to God. In trouble, pray. Second thing, doing well, things going all right? Thank God for that. Praise God for that. You'll have those days as well. Sick? We'll get sick. We'll have all of these experiences. Call the elders and ask for prayer and anointing. Now, what's his point here? What's he getting at? Well, his point is this. God isn't just for emergencies. He's not just to pull out on Sundays. He's the one to go to in everything. Don't suffer in silence, he's saying. Pray when you're struggling. Don't celebrate alone when something is going well. Praise God when things are going well. Bring everything to God, the bad days, the good days, and even the boring days. Now then we get into an interesting verse for the sick, when you're sick. It continues, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now this bit raises a few questions. So let's just break it down chunk by chunk. Firstly, who are the sick? Who's he referring to here? Well, the Greek word used here can mean both physically sort of unwell and also spiritually unwell, spiritually weary. So it could be someone battling a sickness, battling cancer, could be someone crushed by depression, addiction, life, or it could be someone losing their way spiritually. And basically, James is referring to this, is basically covering all of these things that happen in life. He's covering all of these bases here. So it's not just physical sickness. It's for anyone weak spiritually, worn out by life, needing spiritual and physical refreshment. Pray when that's you. Now, what's with the oil? Should we be anointing people more? Probably. Now, oil is used in the Bible a bit as regular mentions to it. Firstly, for medical care in the classic story in Luke chapter 10 where we have the guy gets bashed up by robbers. He's lying half dead, half naked on the side of the road. The priests walk by and ignore him. The Levites walk by and ignore him. But the guy from Samaria gets off his donkey, wraps the guy up, puts oil on him, gets him on the donkey, takes him to the next sort of little village and gets him looked after. Medical care, it's good for you when you've been banged up. Second thing about oil is this, it's often used in the anointing of people or to show God's, it's a symbol of God's presence. When the kings were coronated, they'd always have oil literally poured on their head to show that they were set apart for service to God. So anointing with oil here, it's not a magic trick, it's important. It's a physical reminder that God sees you, can heal you, and does heal, and that he is here and you are his. And here with this anointing, we're really putting you in God's healing hands. But remember, for God's people, one of the things that dominates our prayers is the the thinking that God's will be done. Every single one of us is going to die one day, right? We don't want to live on this wrecked up, sinful earth forever. We want to go to heaven, and one day you will go to heaven, so that means you will die. God's people have no fear of death because we know where we're going. Sometimes the ultimate healing is leaving earth and going to heaven. God's will be done. Now, so that's the sick, the oil. Now, what does the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well? What does that mean? Does that mean if you have enough faith, you'll be healed and you'll never get sick in your life? No. This isn't a guarantee that every sick person will be physically healed. Jesus didn't do that when he was alive, right? He healed people, but there was plenty of other people that were sick in and around Jerusalem and Galilee when he was on earth, and he didn't heal everybody. And he doesn't promise that now. Now, the word well here that's used here also means saved or restored. So this can mean God might physically heal you. He can and does that. Or he can spiritually restore you and pick you up and get you going again. And it can also mean he strengthens you, restores you in your suffering. Whatever you're going through, God will do something good for you, something that strengthens you, particularly your faith, because that's the most important thing for believers. So the bottom line is this: God responds when his people pray. It's as simple as that. God hears your prayer and acts on it. So pray. You get sick? Pray. Someone else gets sick? Pray. Let's anoint people with oil. That's a good thing. And know this, God will act in his perfect timing, in his perfect way. His will, it will be done for your life and for the life of whoever you pray for. Be confident. Whatever is going on, God is there with you. That's the second point. The third point, the next verse tells us what we should do now we know this. So point three is confess and pray together. Look at verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You want to be healed? Yes, of course we do. Pray to God, but also confess your sins to each other. Stop hiding sin. We often hide our sin, don't we, for a whole range of reasons. But James says this: don't hide it. Confess it. That's the Christian way. Now, do you know why he says this? It's because confession breaks the power of sin in your life. One of the reasons why you may be sick and really struggling is simply because you haven't confessed your sin. When it's not confessed, it has power and damages you. But the opposite is very true. Prayer and confession, it invites healing. God's work, God's grace in your life. Now, we know this from personal experience, don't we? Sin damages us, and the more we cling on to it, the more damage it does. But here's the good news and the promise from God. Confessing our sin does bring healing. Now, you don't have to get up in the front of the whole church on a Sunday morning and confess to everyone. It's not saying that. It's just saying you need someone. Someone that you trust to share this sin with and to confess to. You need to get it off your chest. You need God to forgive you for it. You need God to remove it from your life, because that's when the healing starts. So let me ask you, have you confessed your sin to someone? Have you given it over to God? Has the healing started, or are you still suffering because of your sin? Fess it up. Now, James then reminds us of just how powerful prayer is. Look at this verse. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You come to Jesus in faith. You remember, you're declared. Who are the righteous? People that have repented and believed. People that have fessed up their sins to God. And guess what? Your prayers are now powerful, effective. God acts on them. James reminds us of Elijah, prophet in the Old Testament, but just a human just like us. His prayers stopped the rain coming down for 3.5 years. There was chaos going on in Israel because of disobedience and sin, and people weren't fessing up, and God was hitting them hard. 3.5 year famine, and then Elijah prayed for it to stop, and it stopped. Your prayers are powerful and effective. What does that mean we should do with prayer? Pray more, for more people, for healing, for more people to confess, for God to do his work in this world. God does lots of wonderful things for us, and he gives us this weapon of prayer for good. Let's use it. Our final point. James ends with a warning. Point four is this: go after the wanderers. Verses 19 and 20 up on the screen there. I'll just read the first bit. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back. We'll just pause there. You know what James is doing here? He's ending his letter with a rescue mission. Often the New Testament letters end with a bit of a blessing or something nice, but not James. He says, don't forget those people that have wandered off. It happens all the time. People wander off. And he's reminding us here, not everyone sticks with the faith all the time. We often get the wobbles, don't we? He's saying some wander off the narrow path and get lost in their sin and their addictions. Other people, they get tired and too weary, and life just crushes them. And James says here, don't give up on them. Go after them. Verse 20, he says, and this is beautiful, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. That's our job. Go after people. But let me just say this. If you've wandered off and you know it, and one of your friends loves you enough to come after you, don't push them away. Don't ignore them. Don't pretend there's nothing wrong. Say, thank you. Help me to confess my sins. And this is how James ends his letter, with a call to us to keep going and a call to bring others home. That's the rescue mission we're on. And it's also a bit of a humility thing, right? We sometimes veer off track, and we need each other around us to get us back on track. So, what are our next steps? Our applications: pray in every season. Number two, ask for prayer. Yeah, pray in every season. Confess and be healed, and go after the lost. Let's ask God to help us to do just that. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the book of James, for just how practical and helpful it is, and for the great reminder, dear Lord, that we all need to pray. If it's good times, we need to praise you and thank you for the good times. When it's tough and we're suffering, dear Lord, help us to come to you in prayer and to ask for help. And when we stumble into sin, dear Lord, help us to confess it and to kick it out of our lives. And when someone close to us loves us enough to warn us and to try and help us, dear Lord, help us to open up, to be honest, and to listen to the words of our friends so that we change, confess, and are healed. We know how painful and damaging sin is. Help us to be honest. And dear Lord, help all of us to go after the lost. We all know so many people that aren't ready to meet you. Dear Lord, help us to invite people into the kingdom of God, and may you save many. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to thank God for the food that we're about to enjoy, and then I'm going to pray a wonderful blessing on us all. Let's bow our heads. Again, Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful meal prepared for us by Trudy that we're about to enjoy. Please bless the hands of those who have prepared it for us. Bless it to our bodies and our conversations over this meal. May they strengthen us and spur us on towards love and good deeds. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now the blessing is going to appear on the big screen. Let's pray this together. Sam, can everyone see those words on the big screen? Let's pray together. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Hope you had a good night tonight, everyone. It's only going to get better with dinner. But our next way out is the 5th of November. Put that one in the diaries, 5th of November. Great having you all in the building. If you're watching on screen like Stu, have a good night, everybody. See you all soon. Bye for now.